Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
For more on what might lie ahead for U.S. foreign policy, we're now joined by Simon Marks. He's an award-winning international journalist and president and chief correspondent at Feature Story News. Simon, that's the $64 million question. What lies ahead for U.S. diplomacy under President Trump? We've got 2 weeks under our belt. It's kind of schizophrenic, isn't it?
Well, I'm afraid, Mike, that based on what we've seen over the last 2 weeks, one has to presume that this sort of rather anarchic chaos theory of foreign policy is going to continue. I mean, who would ever have imagined that when you looked at the list of all those leaders that Donald Trump called from the White House last Saturday, Angela Merkel in Berlin, François Hollande in Paris, Shinzo Abe in Japan, Vladimir Putin in Moscow, that it would be the Australian Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, with whom he would end up having a dust-up. The White House said today, no, it's not alleviating sanctions in any way against Russia. The Russian news agency TASS didn't see things that way. They immediately put out a bulletin saying this is just the start of sanctions being lifted. When it comes to Iran, the White House says they are putting Iran on formal notice, but they're then unable to explain to any reporters formal notice of what? What exactly does that mean? What sort of legal consequences does that entail? So I think everybody now has to be ready for a continuing wild ride in foreign policy terms, although it will be interesting to see now that Rex Tillerson is at the helm at the State Department, whether he is able to bring some degree of maturity to a decision-making process that thus far hasn't demonstrated very much of it.
Well, Simon, even today, this dual narrative, I mean, you were talking about Russia and basically how Russia perceives this as an easing of sanctions, the White House saying, nah. And then you've got the UN ambassador, Nikki Haley, with some harsh words at the UN for Russia. It seems like you're getting a lot of mixed messages.
Definitely mixed messages. Nikki Haley launching a broadside against Russia at the United Nations because of the upswing in violence in Ukraine tonight. The White House putting out a statement suggesting that Israel should halt settlement activity. That's not where we thought Donald Trump was going to come down in the presidency. So all of these things do not a cogent foreign policy make. And the difficulty that the foreign policy establishment here in Washington has, but to an even greater degree, the international audience watching in, the difficulty that this creates is that it's very difficult to predict where President Trump is going to go in foreign policy terms. Now, maybe that's part of the White House strategy, to be unpredictable, to be constantly surprising, to catch even allies off their guard. But the message that's being sent is very problematic. President Trump pulled the rug out from under Theresa May, the British Prime Minister. She visited last Friday. She'd only just left the White House when suddenly the president was unveiling his immigration ban. Now he's pulled the rug out from underneath Malcolm Turnbull, the Australian Prime Minister, leaving him with very complicated questions to answer back at home. If you're an international leader thinking of coming to Washington, D.C. to engage with President Trump, that is an opportunity fraught with risk as well as with possible reward.
What about the defense secretary? He's going to Seoul, he's in Seoul, he's heading to Tokyo. How do you reassure friends, allies, when it seems as though he's turned his wrath on allies, as you pointed out? We're seeing that with Australia, the UK, and even with Mexico.
Well, so far, James Mattis, who doesn't want to be known any longer as Mad Dog Mattis, although the President of the United States keeps using that moniker to describe him, I mean, he keeps finding himself in a situation where he's reaching out to the country's allies and to its partners to say, don't worry, everything's going to be okay. So James Mattis was the Trump administration figure who reached out to NATO, to the Secretary General there, Jens Stoltenberg, and said he doesn't really mean it when he says NATO is obsolete. obsolete. And then Theresa May, when she was here, was able to extract Donald Trump's backing for NATO as an alliance. And so far, he hasn't gone back on that. Now, James Mattis prepares to head to Asia, to an Asia-Pacific region that has seen Donald Trump pull out of American participation in the Trans-Pacific Partnership, an Asia where many countries are wondering just how serious a presence the United States intends to be in the region. James Mattis will no doubt assure countries throughout the region that Donald Trump doesn't really mean it. We are going to be a serious presence here. But at the end of the day, the buck stops not with General Mattis, but with President Trump.
Simon Marks, we're going to leave it there. Thanks so much for your analysis. Appreciate it.